You remember in last week that I had got started in a lesson in which that how that God loves us, and showing from the scripture that God loves us, and also the question was, how do I know? Now, the Bible does teach us that God does love us. And there's ways in which that we can identify that God loves us. And we pointed some of those things out. God loves us because we find in the scriptures that Jesus died for us. And we talked about that one. Not only did he die for us, but we also realize that he loves us because he has given unto us the Bible. That is his word. The infallible proof that we have that God not only loves us, but he has also given us a way in which to travel in this world. Based upon Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp to our feet and a light unto our path. We wouldn't know which way to travel, which way to go, what to do, or any of those things if it wasn't for God's word. If it wasn't for God's word, you wouldn't know or could not know who God really is. Now, I realize and know that the Bible teaches us that even nature shows and proves that there is God. Like Psalms 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and show forth his handiworks. But yet, if the word of God did not bring to our attention who God is, we wouldn't know. We would just know, well, these things happen because there must be something powerful to bring it about. But also we talked about that, and we also talked about the fact that not only does he love me, but that he has forgiven me. Here again shows how much that God loves us. He has forgiven me. If you remember in Colossians chapter 3 and about verse 13, he said, forgive others even as Christ hath forgiven you. Now, Christ has forgiven us, and Christ desires us to forgive others. And then he continues on that let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which that you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. You see, we have been forgiven, and every person upon this earth, from the day of Jesus' ascension into heaven, he resurrected and he went into heaven, every person that has been forgiven from that time on has gotten into the body of Christ. Because Jesus had made a statement, I will build, and he did build his church. So people have gotten in, every person that has been forgiven. But you see, not only can we be forgiven, but also we can, after our forgiveness of sins, make mistakes and complicate things. And realizing that you can obey the truth, but get into error. But you cannot obey error and get into truth. And so when we look at how much that he loves us and how much that he has forgiven us, he has forgiven us so that we as Christians can make the effort to help others be forgiven. It will be useless for us as a Christian if we simply say, well, now, you know, I did what God said for me to do in order to be forgiven or to be saved, and then sit down and do nothing the rest of my life. How would Christianity grow? If the ones in which that the Lord selected, and just before his ascension, which was the 11, according to Mark 16, and he had told them that they were to wait in Jerusalem and then they would receive power. That is the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was going to come and guide them into all truth. Now, by guiding them into all truth, it would bring back to their remembrance everything that Jesus had said to them. Now, I know that there are those today who seem to believe and think, well, they had that, and that's why the Spirit came, was to guide them into all truth and bring back all things to their remembrance. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit did that today, there would be no need for us to have a Bible. Because the Holy Spirit was going to be working miraculously and guiding us, and there will be no error if people follow. But you see, if the Spirit is directing an individual in speaking the truth, then it won't conflict with what God says. It won't do it. Peter did not conflict with what Paul wrote. Neither did any of the others. Jeremiah didn't conflict with what some of the other prophets had spoke. It didn't conflict. Why? Because God was behind it. God was the author of it. And whenever that we look how much that Jesus loved us, he loved us enough that he died for us and forgiven us of our sins that we could be in this great body of believers. In Ephesians 5, we find that Paul here said that husband was to love their wives as Christ loved the church. He loved the church. Who is the church? Well, it's those who have been born into a family. It's a family of God. It's those who are a part of that body of Christ. Remember in the account given by Jesus when he prayed in John 17. Jesus prayed to the Heavenly Father. That's who he was praying to. Now, if the Heavenly Father didn't exist, why would Jesus be talking to somebody that wasn't there? In verse 20, he says, neither pray I for these alone, talking about his disciples. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also that shall believe on me through their word, that the all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that the world may believe that you have sent me. That the all may be one. Now, we learn from this that every believer, every Christian is one. They're one. But they are different places, different locations, and so therefore they are one in unity. And again, when we find that Jesus, in talking about the fact that he not only loves us, has forgiven us, but our forgiveness takes upon us things in which that we must be responsible for, and that is getting the word of God to others and warning other individuals. Now, if you go back and notice from the account given in Matthew chapter 16, here we find that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they come to where Jesus is. They come to where Jesus is and asking him, Lord, we want to see a sign from heaven. Now, if you will notice, the Pharisees and the Sadducees was a great group of people who thought they were right. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so they come tempting Jesus, desiring to see a sign from heaven. And Jesus says to them, what does he say? He says, well, in the morning you say it's going to be fair weather because the skies is red. And in the evening it's going to be foul weather because the skies is red and lowering. How is it that you can discern the time of this situation and cannot discern the times of me? He says, you evil and adulterous generation, you seek after a sign. Now, ain't it true today that many religious groups look for signs? Some way to realize or some way to let them know that God has forgiven them in some way or in some form. They look for some kind of a sign. He says, you evil and adulterous generation, you seek after a sign. Now, Paul made that clear also in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. To those who had been forgiven and to those who had taken upon themselves the responsibility of teaching and preaching and letting others know about Christ. And he says the Jews seek after a sign and the Greeks wisdom. Too many times we have those who look for different... Is God going to send some kind of way in heaven and show me that he loves me? No, he's given me a lot of things already. He's provided me with a lot of things already. And Jesus went forward to say to this evil and adulterous generation that was seeking after a sign, there be no sign given you but the sign of the prophet John. In other words, you've already got the sign if you just go back and read what the prophets have spoken about. But then he continues on. He leaves them, and then after he leaves them, we find that the disciples comes to him on the other side, and they have forgotten that they took bread. They had forgotten that they had took bread with them. And so Jesus, when he got the opportunity here to talk to them, Jesus says, you beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now, they begin to murmur with, you know, in their self, in their deciding, is it because we took no bread? Is it because we took no bread? And then Jesus, he understood what they were thinking, just like Jesus understands what we're thinking today, don't he? And so in that, he said, do you not remember? You know, sometimes it is, they may be like us, they just forget pretty quick. Don't you remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many baskets that you took up? Or the 4 or 7 loaves and the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? Don't you remember that? Then they understood that Jesus was not talking about living of bread in that sense, but Jesus was having reference to the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, Jesus loved them so much that he wanted to warn them ahead of time, beware. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We need to realize the importance. We need to realize that we are a new creation, and we need to realize that God loves us so much, and he wants us to stay in that love. Jude 21. Keep yourself in the love of God. We have to abide in that love. We have to stay within that love. Because that's what he wants us to do. And when we move out of that realm of his love, that is not following, doing what he says, then we realize that God doesn't hate us, but God sure hates what we may do. Just as the psalmist did, through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. We have to come to realize and know that. But I know that God loves me. I know that God loves me because he provides for my needs. I know he loves me. He provides for my needs. You remember in Matthew 6:33 when Jesus said, after talking about several different things, he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see, again, a responsibility for you and me after we have been forgiven, after we have accepted the fact that Jesus did die for me, and I want to follow him. He says, you seek the kingdom of God first. Now, that simply indicates the fact that the responsibility of being a Christian, one who is following the word of God, must take priority. It must take priority. If I'm going to follow Christ, it means I cannot follow someone else. If I am a follower of Jesus Christ, then that's the only one I see. That's the only one I know. It's not that I don't have acquaintance with other people, but I'm talking about the fact that no one can move me away from that in which I am going. I am set on Jesus Christ. And so when I am seeking him first, he takes priority. Takes priority. Over anything that I may have a desire for or want to do, he takes priority. And so that shows that I love him as well. But remember, in James 1:17, James said, every good and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Now, where do we get what we have from? How do we go out into the garden and maybe pick off a cucumber or tomato? Why did that happen? Because God provided it for me. He made provisions that everything would produce after its kind. And I know then that God loved me because God is a great giver. And he has provided me with what I have. And God has promised to do that. God has promised to take care of my needs. He's never promised to take care of my wants, but he has promised to take care of my needs. And I know that he loves me because every good and perfect gift comes down from him. And 1 John 1 verse 7 teaches us that we're to walk in the light. But if we fumble or fall as a Christian, we realize that Jesus Christ's blood can cleanse us and continue to cleanse us when we fall or make mistakes. That's how I know that God loves me. Philippians 4:19 teaches me, as he wrote to the church of Philippi, that God shall supply your needs. God will. Remember the time in which that Abraham was called to take his son and offer him up on the altar? And the question was asked, but here's the wood and all these things, but where's the sacrifice? What did Abraham say? God will provide. God not only will provide for us in material things, but God also will provide for us when it comes to spiritual things. Remember 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13? There is no temptation taking you but that which is common to man, but God will with that temptation make a way of escape. God will provide you a way to escape if you want to. Sometimes people say, you know, I just can't live that Christian life. You know why you can't do it? It's because you don't want to. That's why you don't live it. Because you don't want to. If you wanted to, you could. There's no doubt in my mind, if you wanted to be a Christian and live as a Christian, you can. But you cannot do it until you want to and have that desire to. Because God's love will help us. Psalms 37:25, David said, I am old. No, I was once young and now I'm old. But he said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. You see, David knew that God was a provider. God can provide us with everything that's necessary in this life and even in the next life to come. Provide us with sufficient things to help us make it there as well. But after I have accepted that love, I realize and know that God loves me because of the promise of heaven. God has promised us great things. God has promised us heaven. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth the rest for the people of God. You see, when you look at that and realize and know that there is no rest in this world. You see, you've got to work full time. It's not an easy street. But yet we realize and know that there remains a rest for the people of God. We find in Matthew 25:46 that Jesus says, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You see what God has promised? He's promised to both parties, the good and the bad. God has made a promise. John 14, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Was Jesus asking these men to believe a lie? He said, if you believe in God, you believe in me. Was he asking them to believe something that wasn't there? No. He wasn't asking them to do that. If you believe in God, you believe also in me. In my Father's house. Whose house was it? Who did Jesus say it was? In my Father's house. Was Jesus asking them or telling them a lie? Or was Jesus assured and knowing that he did have a Father? In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare that place for you, I will come again. See the promise that he's made? I know that he loves me because he has promised me heaven. He has made that promise. What does God's love demand of me then? Since I know that God loves me, what does it demand of me? It demands of me in John 14:15-23, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my words. Where's his words at? Is it out there floating in the air somewhere? No, we have a copy of his word. We have a copy of his word. Where are we going to find what God has for us to do? Jeremiah 34:16, seek out of the book of the Lord and read. Here's where we're going to find it. This is sufficient. And this is proof that God loves me. It means that I will do the will of God, Matthew 7:21. Because Jesus was obedient himself, Hebrews 5:8-9. And he became the author of eternal salvation to all those that obey him. Luke 6:46 says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In other words, why are you saying that I'm your Lord and you're not doing what I told you to do? You see, it was something for, if you remember going back and noticing when there were slaves, the master, when he called upon his man to do something, that man did it or else got punished. He even had a right to kill him if he wanted to. And Jesus is our Lord. He is our master. And when he calls upon us to do something, we better do it or else suffer the consequences. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? We love him because he loved us. And we are to live faithful to him. Luke 9:23, we learn from this passage that Jesus said, if you don't take up your cross daily and follow me, you're not worthy of me. In other words, you're no disciple of mine if you're not following what I'm saying and doing that daily. Why should we live a Christian life daily? Well, for instance, when we turn to Matthew 24:42, we find in this situation, Jesus says, "Watch, for you know not what hour your Lord cometh, or when the Son of Man cometh." Watch. You don't. Now, this may refer to the second coming of Christ in this particular passage. Think about it. Even if it is talking about the second coming, when is our coming? When does Jesus come? When death comes for us, that's the end for us here in this life. And then we find him going further and telling us that we need to be ready. To be ready for such an hour as you think not the Son of Man coming. Be ready. Whenever it is, whether it's on Sunday, whether it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, be ready. When he comes, we don't know when he's going to come. But when death comes, it's just as though that the Lord would have come. In a sense, just the things in which that will happen at that time has not yet happened yet. Because we have not reached the great beauty of it all. We might say the grand prize. And that's been welcomed into heaven itself. We've not reached that yet. We know that we love him and that we need to tell others. Not only be faithful to him, but love others as well. Not only our brothers and sisters, but also those who are out there in sin. We have to have a love for them as well. It makes no difference who they are, what they may look like in our eyes, or what they are doing. We still have to have a love for that individual. Because Jesus loved the worst. How do I know that? Because Paul said in 1 Timothy 1 that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. If he considered himself to be the chief, nobody else could be any worse. But whatever sins we do have, God can forgive and will forgive because he loves us. He loves us. But do you? Do you love him? Or is he just someone that you're talked about. But you can be a part of that great family of God by responding to the gospel. Let it be made known that you want to be baptized into Him for the forgiveness of sins. If you're yearning yourself to the invitation, you need to come all together. We stand and sing the song selected.